Let me invite you to take your Bibles quickly today. We got a lot to do. Everybody say a lot. We got a lot to do. You can turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 is actually where we're going to be this morning. This is Missions Sunday. Missions Sunday. So we're going to emphasize missions today. There's a lot of mission work that goes on through our church and as a part of our church throughout the year, but especially during the summer. As Steve mentioned, a group of about 48 just came back of youth and leaders came back from Harrisonburg, Virginia, from Mission Fuge, doing work this week. And so we look forward to hearing more about what God did through them. We've got a group right now that's they'll be coming back later today from Baltimore. And so there's a group of 10 adults and college students coming back from missions work in Baltimore after they worship together with the church up there, the church that we're partnering with. To send Brandon and Melissa out to go partner with to be church planters in Baltimore. They'll be leaving in September, and so a lot going on. Then coming up this Saturday, our Hungry Missions team will be leaving. We've got 16. We'll have special prayer over them at the end of the service. They'll be leaving this Saturday to go to Hungary for missions work there. We'll tell you a little bit more about some of that, but I want to focus on missions some today and kind of draw our attention to this. And then, of course, we just had one that came back from Africa being there doing missions work. And so we're a lot of missions work going on through our church this summer. Summer gets really busy around here. We've got our food pantry ministry that just happened yesterday. VBS is coming up later on this summer. And then we've got a group, too, that's leaving 41, leaving to go to Centra Kid Camp. This is kids camp for like second through sixth grade. We've got 41 total going, 34 kids, 7 adults. If you happen to be in here and you're going to Centra Kid this week, you're leaving. Let me see who you are. Raise your hand if you're going to Centra Kid camp this week. Okay, we got a good group going to Centra Kid camp this week. I'm going. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Somebody was asking me if I was ready for camp, and I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for camp. Like, they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is easy. Like, camp's easy, man. This is fun. This is a good week. Like, man, it's just enjoyable to be around kids all week, you know, who know their kids and act like kids rather than being around adults who act like kids. Anyway, it's going to be a fun week. So it's a lot going on. And I want to focus on missions today. We're going to be in Matthew 28. Today. Matthew 28, 18, verses 18 through 20. These are Jesus' last words before he ascends into heaven. It gives to us what we as a church, as disciples of Christ, are to be about. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore," everybody say go, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Someone has said, and I think rightly so, that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission is what makes a great church. I think this is an accurate statement. We get the Great Commandment. It's another famous statement from Jesus. Probably the two of the most important, popular, well-known, and important statements from Jesus would be the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. What we've just read is considered the Great Commission. But we get the Great Commandment in Matthew 22, where someone came up to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all or depend all the law and the prophets. So great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then great commission, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Remembering, by the way, Jesus said, I'm with you the whole time. I'm with you. So that's it, the great commandment and the great commission. So I want to focus on, or a great commission, I want to focus on the great commission today. Great churches are great commission churches. Like if you find a great church, okay, by God's standards, it has to be a great commission church, okay? We're going to focus on that part of it. I think wrapped up in that is our love for our neighbor, that we would cross the sea, we would cross the street, and we would share the good news of the gospel with them. That's part of what it means to love our neighbor. But anywhere you find a truly great church, and if we hope to be a truly great church, we have to be known as a great commission church, all right? Great commission church. A great commission church, by the way, is a church that has the right purpose, mission, message, method, and scope. And we're going to go through that today. So here's what we're going to look at. Let me just give you a snapshot. What is the purpose? A great commission church is a church that has the right purpose, mission, message, method, and scope. And so we're going to talk about that, all right? The purpose is to bring glory to God. Every church, our purpose is to bring glory to God. We'll go through that this morning. The mission is to make disciples of all nations. The message is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was raised again. Trust Him. Follow Him. That's our message. Our method is to make disciples, mark disciples, mature disciples, and multiply disciples. And our scope is people like us, people unlike us, people close to us, and people far from us. So I said we got a lot to do today. So we got to go through all that. And we've got to have a special time of prayer and commissioning for our hungry team, and we've got to take up a special missions offering today that we're going to do. So we got a lot to do, okay? Let's unpack each of these briefly, all right? First of all, the purpose. What is the purpose? This is the purpose for every person, really, but it's also the purpose for every church, and that is to bring glory to God, to bring glory to God. Your very purpose is to bring glory to God, to be like a mirror that reflects the beauty, the majesty, the holiness, the greatness of God, that when others would look at you, listen to what you say, look at your life. As Steve talked about, the way we live our lives, that when people would look at us and they would listen to us, they would see a reflection of God's glory and majesty in us and in our church. When people think about Lebanon Baptist Church, they ought to think about, man, they represent and worship a great God. That is our purpose, to bring glory to God. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us, by the way, tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you look up at the heavens, when you look at God's creation, it says of God. When you look at it, it reflects His greatness and glory and majesty. We were kind of doing a devotional with the kids one night this week, and one of the devotions focused on the stars, and it focused on the greatness and the majesty of God as reflected in space with the stars and the planets and everything that God has made. We know when we look at, and by the way, my mind gets blown, when you really start looking at the size of things out there and how incredible it is that God's created, it just like blows my mind. So picture the emoji, mind blown. All right, that's how I get. So here's the deal. Like our planet, like our, we live, this is a big place, man. This planet is big. Like we live on a big world, a lot of people here, a lot of places to go, huge. But you know, you can fit 1.3 million planet Earths in our sun. And then there's this giant like red star out there, a supergiant. And it's not even the largest of all the stars, but there's this one out there, you can see it. It's called Betelgeuse. You may have heard of it before. Betelgeuse is not just a drink that you give to kids at science camp, all right? No, it's this giant star out there, 650 light years away. So you can fit 1.3 million planet Earths in the sun, and then you can fit 1.2, they estimate you can fit 1.2 billion suns in this star. So is that like, how do we even know what that, like, how do we even have a, I can't think about stuff like this. This is beyond our comprehension. Now, here was what really captivated me in the kids' devotional this week. Was this helped me make sense of these big numbers, because we get like 1.1 million, billion, trillion. You start getting up into these millions and trillions and all of that, and like, I don't even know how to do this. I tried to compute, like, how many Earths would that be fitting inside? I can't even figure it out. Like, maybe somebody else can do that. But here's listen to this. This is how you understand numbers a little bit. It made sense to me. 1 million seconds. 1 million seconds equals 12 days. So it's 12 days. Guess how many 1 billion seconds represents? 32 years. Okay. And then 1 trillion seconds represents 31,700 years. So go, okay, wait a minute. So 1.3 million planet Earths can fit into the sun, and then 2 billion suns could fit into, all right, I'm lost. But this is how great and majestic our God is. And our lives and our church is to bring glory to Him, just like when anyone actually looks at His creation, they go, man, there is a great and majestic and glorious God behind this. God is glorious. Look, I read a couple verses there at the start from Ephesians 1, like 7 and 8. Three times in Ephesians 1, Paul says, he uses this phrase to talk about how everything that God has done for the church at Ephesus and for the believers, He has done for them in Christ, and He has established this church, and He has redeemed this church, and He has done everything for them. Three times he says, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glorious grace. That's what he says, verse 6, 12, and 14. The church is for the purpose of bringing glory and praise and glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. One author wrote, the church is the mirror that reflects the whole effulgence of the divine character. It is the grand scene in which the perfections of Jehovah are displayed to the universe. Let me read that last part for you again. The church is the grand scene in which the perfections of Jehovah are displayed to the universe. That is our purpose. We are to bring glory to God. All right. Well, what's our mission? The mission of the church is to make disciples of all nations. To make disciples of all nations. We read it right here. This is where we get the mission of the church. Matthew 28, Jesus gave His disciples the mission. This is what you're to be about. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We have to always be sure that we keep ourselves focused on the mission, right? It's been said many times, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And this is the main thing for a church. Our main thing is to be busy about trying to make disciples of all nations. Darrell Bach wrote, professor of theological education at Dallas Seminary, wrote, the priority of the church until Jesus returns, a mission of which the community must never lose sight, is to witness of Jesus to the end of the earth. The church exists in major part to extend the apostolic witness of Jesus everywhere. This is what we exist to do. We exist to extend the message and the witness that the apostles gave of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and forgiveness of sins in His name. This is why we exist, to extend this message to the ends of the earth. Now, the early church did that, right? Okay, because not a lot of you nodded your heads, we're gonna go back through the book of Acts. We're going to start a new series going through Acts next week. No, the early church did this. You read the book of Acts, when you leave off in Matthew and Jesus ascended back to heaven and said, I'm with you always and go make disciples of all nations, they did that. They went and made disciples of all nations. That happens throughout the book of Acts. It's still happening even today. What is the message that we proclaim as we go to do this? That Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was raised again. Trust Him, follow Him. That is our message. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried and raised again. Trust Him, follow him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he wrote to the church in Corinth, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." At the very end of Luke's gospel, we get some different words from Jesus that are his last words. So Luke gives us some other words that Jesus said just before he ascended into heaven. In Luke 24, Jesus was kind of unpacking for some of his disciples how the Old Testament pointed to him and was fulfilled in him. And Jesus said, "It was written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And then this, get this, "and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And that's exactly what we see happening in the book of Acts. From Jerusalem, beginning there, those disciples were witnesses of Jesus. Repentance and forgiveness of sins was proclaimed in the name of Jesus, beginning in Jerusalem, and now all the way here to Greensboro, North Carolina, where we have received the gospel. Many of you have put your faith and trust. Most of you probably put your faith and trust in Jesus and are following him. That's our message. So what do we got so far? The purpose is to what? To bring glory to God. The mission is make disciples of. And then the message is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was raised again. Trust him. Follow him. All right, so now, here's where I really want to get, the next two. That was just kind of like getting us started. The next two, here we go. The method. So there is a method kind of outlined for us in Matthew chapter 28 and in the other words that Jesus gave before he ascended. And this is what it looks like. It looks like making disciples, marking them and maturing them and multiplying them. And here's kind of how it transitions or how it plays out in Matthew 28. First is the make disciples. This happens when someone believes and receives the gospel. When a person believes and receives the gospel, when a person believes that Jesus died on the cross, that his death on the cross was necessary for their sins to be forgiven, when they believe that Jesus died for them, paid their sin penalty, when they understand that message and that God raised him from the dead, and they trust completely in Jesus, they become a disciple of Christ. They are a disciple at that point. That's what happens when a person believes and receives the message of the gospel. And I want to just say, too, for those of you that may be here, those of you that may be watching, if you've never received that message and believe that message, please put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He died so that you could have eternal life. He died so that you could have your sins forgiven. God raised him from the dead. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life is available through trusting in the name of Jesus. So that's how we make disciples, is through the proclaiming of that message. People believe that message, receive that message. Then we're told in Matthew 28, we don't stop there, but there needs to be a public identifier. There needs to be a way that they can make that faith public. There needs to be a way that they can identify with Christ. And that comes through the second one, mark disciples. And that happens through baptism. You see it in the early church. After people put their faith in Christ and believed in him, they were baptized in the book of Acts. We do that here, where people are baptized after they put their faith in Christ. That marks someone. Jesus said, make disciples. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number three. The third part of this, though, is to mature disciples. This happens primarily when someone belongs to a smaller group focused on growth in Christ. Now, there are other ways that this happens, but a lot of churches, I think, struggle to help mature disciples in Christ. Max Anders, author of many books on discipleship, he wrote, "One of the greatest challenges facing the church in America today is the shallowization of the church." The shallowization of the church. Now, I believe that preaching is a primary means. You show up regularly for the preaching of the word. The church gathered on the Lord's day receives the word. You're built up through instruction in the word. This is a part of God's plan for maturing you as a disciple of Christ. But most of this doesn't happen. Most growth in Christ does not happen like this in rows. Most of your maturity in Christ and growth in Christ comes about through smaller groups of like-minded believers in the church gathering together for the purpose of growing in Christ. And we grow in Christ when we go and serve. We grow in Christ when we go on mission. We grow in Christ when we do that. But smaller groups that have accountability, that have spiritual disciplines to help encourage each other to grow in Christ, to learn the Word, to study it, to go out and to do what Christ has commanded us. That's the maturing process. And I want to just say, like, if you're in here and you're not in a smaller group within the church that has growth in Christ as a focus of it, you're missing out on a very critical piece that God has designed for you to grow. And I believe your maturity in Christ will be stagnated dramatically if you do not get involved in a group. So we have a lot of life groups. You can find out about those. Talk to me afterwards or see our website where those are at, or talk to any of our welcome team members. But you need to get involved in that. That's part of God's plan for how you can grow in Christ. The fourth step then comes with multiplication. Multiplying disciples. This happens when someone is equipped enough that they start equipping others to lead. Robert Coleman, in the Master's Plan of Evangelism, he wrote about Jesus. It all started by Jesus calling a few men to follow him. This revealed immediately the direction his evangelistic strategy would take. His concern was not with programs to reach the multitudes, but with the men whom the multitudes would follow. Multiplying. We get it in the Great Commission from Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20 then says, what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And this is what he just commanded them. He had just commanded them to go and to make disciples and to baptize them. And then as you do that, teach them to do the same. And this is where the work multiplies. And multiplication is a lot better than addition. I mean, again, I told you I'm not the greatest at math. I struggle with these big numbers and stuff, but multiplication is a lot better than addition. We've got to multiply disciples. This is part of what it means for us to be a healthy church that brings glory to God, that keeps the mission of Christ central, is that we not only make disciples, mark disciples, mature them, but also multiply. Sending. For us as a church, we really want to focus on and start focusing more on sending as a church, sending people out to go do mission. That's why we do a lot of the things that we do this summer, is to help send people out to go on mission. That's why we're sending Brandon and Melissa. God has raised them up and called them to go and plant a church, and so we're partnering with them to send them out to multiply, to go start another church that will also in the future be sending people out too, and that's a multiplication effort. Right now, we are fostering a church in Greensboro, Glenwood Church. They're a church that we've been fostering for many months now that's struggling, and we've worked with them to help them get a pastor. We filled the pulpit for them. We've helped them get an interim pastor at the moment. Pastor Dan served in that capacity for several months. We have another man that we have serving down there as interim pastor with them. We've got people this Sunday, right now, we have people from Lebanon, and some of you have been, but we have some this Sunday that are down there worshiping with them and serving with them and being a part of what they're doing, because that's a part of our strategy of sending out, not just filling up this place. We want to fill this place up. We want to see people come to faith in Christ, start growing in Christ. We want to see the pews full here, but not just so the pews are full here, but so that we can send people out to multiply, okay? So we got some empty spaces, a little bit. We can fill this up, but to send out, all right? Filling up the building is not the end. It's the means to the end of multiplying so that we can see a reproducing effort. I love this thought here. I forget who said it. I don't remember where I came across it, but someone said this: Jesus didn't say, teach them all of my commands. Now, keep it here. Back up. You're giving away my thing. Yeah, thanks. Jesus didn't say, teach them all of my commands in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he didn't say, teach them all of my commands. I think sometimes we think that's what he said. We think that Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and then teaching them the commands. That's not what he said. He said, teaching them to what? You can do it now. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. or to obey all that I have commanded you. This is one way that I think we know as a church we're struggling to mature disciples and multiply. We're struggling in that area when we have a lot of people who know the commands but are not living by them. And I think that could summarize the church in America largely today. So we have a group of Christians in America today who know the command. They know the truth. They know what is right. And they're kind of, yeah, I know I should. Yeah, I know I ought to. But they're not doing it. Jesus doesn't say that we've completed the Great Commission when we have people who have trusted in him and they know what he taught, but they're just not quite living by it. The teaching is to teach them to observe. You know, this is part of what it means to be a part of the church, to help others in the church, is to help them obey the teachings of Christ, not just know what those are. So what's the scope? The scope of our ministry. The scope of our ministry is revealed in Acts 1:8. Where Jesus' words are recorded there by Luke in Acts 1. Again, some of Jesus' final words before he ascended into heaven. He said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." And this is what we as a church are to be. We're to be witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Anybody notice how many places that is? Four places. Here's what it looks like. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. So Jerusalem represents for us, as we try to make application today, people who are geographically close to us. They live close to us geographically. Like they may live in the neighborhoods right around here, or they might live down the street, or you know, they live close to you. People who live geographically close to us, and they're like us culturally. You know, we kind of like look the same, talk the same, act the same, like the same stuff. We just have the same kind of culture. That's our Jerusalem. But then, if you go over to the right, Samaria would be people who are geographically close, but they're culturally different or far. Just have a different culture. But we live close. We have people like this all around us where it's like, all right, you know, you're like, I'm different. They're different from me. I'm different from them. We're not of the same culture. We just have a different culture, but we live close together. And Jesus said, you're to be witnesses to the people who live close to you who are like you and the people who live close to you who are not like you. Both. And then you've got Judea. This would be people who are culturally similar to you, but they just don't live close to you. We got to go to them too. They don't live close to us, but they're like us in culture. So they're similar to us, but they just live far away. We go to them. Make disciples of all nations. Be witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that would be people who are culturally far from us. They're not like us, and they don't even live close to us. We're to go to them too. So do you see what Jesus is doing here for the church? Like, this is what he's saying for us as a church. All right? Our purpose is to bring glory to God. We do that through making disciples of all nations and through that process of proclaiming the gospel to them and forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ and then teaching them to grow in Christ and to observe everything that Jesus commanded them. And the ones that we're targeting to try to reach to make disciples are people who live close to us and are like us and live close to us and are not like us and those who live far away from us and are like us and those who live far away from us that are not like us. So there's nobody on planet Earth that doesn't fall within that scope. Say, that's everybody. That's everybody. That's who we are to be proclaiming the gospel to. As a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must remain faithful to our purpose, mission, message, method, and scope as outlined for us in Scripture. You may think that's simple. That's a little thing. We just do that. Hudson Taylor, I like what Hudson Taylor, the great missionary that founded Inland China Mission, Hudson Taylor said, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a great thing. I mean, being faithful to this is a great thing and what we are called to do. Look, we're to love our neighbors. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Our neighbors are not just the ones that live close to us, but as Jesus outlined for us, it's a local and a global mission. And we share the gospel. We're to proclaim the gospel with everyone that we can. And we have a lot of ministries here at our church locally that work to try to proclaim the gospel through the ministries of our church. I mean, just yesterday, there were 146 families that came through our food pantry ministry and received the message of the gospel through the information that we pass out, received the love of Christ. And we work through that. We have other ministries that we do here locally, but we also have to go. I mean, if we just focus on our Jerusalem and even our Samaria, if we just focus on those and put our effort and energy into those that are geographically close, we're only doing half of what Jesus has commanded. We've got to go abroad as well, and we've got to be involved in work around the world. We have to go to the ends of the earth. We have to go to our Judea. We have to go. And we do that. We do that here through a lot of different ways. So let me just, we send people out. We're sending people out this summer. But we also support missions. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but we have missionaries that are around the world that we support, that we get regular communication from, hearing about what God is doing through them. And even through our support financially, we are helping send missionaries in that capacity. Let me show you one, because we're going to have at the end, we're going to have this special international missions offering where I want to give you a chance to give today to this. Our goal is to try to reach $15,000 above and beyond our tithes and offerings. And so we're actually going to, hand me that if you will, Isaac. We're actually going to do something that may be very new to a lot of you. But this is like, this is called an offering plate, okay? Back in like the dark ages before COVID-19 was known, we thought you couldn't like make it if you didn't do this, if you didn't pass these. And anyway, God has shown us that, you know, you don't have to do that. But we're going to do something just to bring some attention to it. So at the end of the service during our last song, like ushers are going to actually be passing this thing down by you, and you can look at it and what. Anyway, but if you want to make a gift through the offering plate, you can do that. Everything here would go to international missions, and for the purposes that I'm going to show you. You can do that. If you're not prepared, you can give today online. You can go to our website, lbcnow.org, click on the Give tab, select Missions. There's a drop-down for Missions. You can do it that way. Or you can do it on the church app. By the way, Steve was talking about this. How many of you have the Church Center app? Let me just see your hands. You have, and you're connected to us? All right, good. The rest of you, the altar will be open after service. But anyway, you can download that, because you can do a lot of things right there, and it's really great. If you actually link up through the bank, your bank and the ACH thing, like you can give online for 30 cents. There's no percentage taken away, just 30 cents. Every transaction is all that it costs us to make that happen. So that's a great way of giving too. So you can give that way. But anyway, $15,000, that's the goal. We're trying to raise that for summer international missions, and particularly for some missions projects. Our Hungry Missions team is one that will be leaving Saturday. All of them have raised and given of their own, out of their own pockets, or sent out support letters, or done fundraising. They have all worked hard and raised, but there's still some needed for them for that trip to be accounted for. And so we want to encourage you to help give to support them as they're going to share the gospel. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. And then two other missionaries whose needs have come to us. But anyway, that's what this is, all right? For those of you that are new, it is kind of a different thing again. Our goal is 15,000. Scott Preston did say to me right before service that anything we did not get toward that goal, he would make up the difference. So we appreciate the Lord laying that on his heart. Now, let me just tell you real quick as we kind of bring it. Let me tell you real quick. So here's one of the missionaries. This is Dave. Dave and Sandy Kelly. They're missionaries with Word of Life. Okay. This couple, like, I met with him about 4 weeks ago. Met with him for an hour and a half, and just he was sharing with me all that God's doing in the ministry that he is involved in. He and his wife. So he has had a relationship with this church through missions work, even some local mission work that he was doing, bringing kids here to the church for special things in some of the Word of Life stuff he was doing locally. He's had a relationship here even since with this church since the 70s. I'm not going to ask how many of you remember what it was like in the 70s here, but anyway, some of you do. He's a long time, and he's been involved in missions. What he is involved in right now with Word of Life is in eight different countries in the Caribbean, leading youth Bible camps, providing biblical leadership training for the youth, discipleship training for the youth, and church planting. There are churches on the island that they're trying to strengthen on these eight islands in the Caribbean that he's working with, but they're also trying to be a part of seeing churches planted, new church planted, one on each of the eight islands where he is working. But here's one of the newest things that he is doing as part of this is biblical and theological training for pastors and teachers in the churches on these islands. So one of the things he shared with me was just for the need. There's a great need for pastors and teachers in the churches in the islands to be biblically trained. And they just don't have access to the training quite like we do here. And so he started doing these training pastor and teacher, not just pastors, but also teachers in the local churches training. And he was told, like, you'll get one of the islands. They said, you might get 15 pastors to show up. And then here's a picture. They had like 50 pastors and teachers, other teachers in the church that showed up. And for a week, they were able to train them. And so anyway, part of what we want to do is help fund more of that work. There's a lot more planned, but it takes some extra funding. He's been a part of our church ministry for some time, and we want to continue to support and to help him. So some of the money would go towards that. Another one of our missionary families, we helped them at the end of the year, Kofi and Elizabeth Wadomi. This is a picture of them and their family with their son Samuel. They were here on a Wednesday night and spoke. What we mentioned at the end of the year was for them that they're working on. You see that building there to the that's diagram. That's what they're hoping to eventually build in Togo, West Africa. To the left is about what they had a year ago. Is about what they had, just open block building, and this is some of the work in the progress. We sent them $12,000 in January from our Christmas offering, and it has gone to help completing more of the work of the church building. But here's the need that they have now. They have continued need for that, but I just found out last week that their car has broken down. No longer. No more use from the car. And so I just want us to help them, if we can, replace that. So it's about $10,000 that they need for the car. We've had a missionary support relationship with them for 10 years. For 10 years we've been supporting them. We want to continue to do so. This is part of how we can even be a part of going, and is even through supporting international missions. Now, here's the 16. We have 16 going to Hungary. They're leaving this Saturday. All right, let me just tell you who they are. I don't know if all of them are here, but yeah, some are even coming back from Baltimore today. But here are the ones that are going: Caroline Ingold, Kaylee Young, Ella Earp, Emily Ingold, Bella Weisburn, Lainey Apple, Logan Apple, Mason Apple. We'll be praying for Karen. Murphy Rail, Noah Preston, Sarah Wren, Carmen Wren, Jeff Rail, Brandon Sams, Daryl Rackley, and Katie Rackley. And here's what they're going to be doing while they're there. They're going to be teaching high schoolers creation, biblical character sketches, and American history and sports in English with interpreters. But they're doing this because at the end of their classes each day, they're inviting them to come to the local church for games and hangout, trying to help bridge the gap between church and culture and overcoming some of the obstacles that they have built up in their mind with what they think church is like. A lot of them view any church a lot like the Catholic Church there in Hungary, and so they just have big resistance towards that. And so they're trying to help share the gospel through some opportunities they have in these camps and then bridging that gap to get them into the church. One of the stories that I heard from last year was about a girl that had not had anything to do with the church, a teenage girl, but she came to the church through this and had been continuing to come months later, coming to the church because of the work that our missions team was a part of in Hungary last year. Brandon texted me and said this. He said, we'll be teaching for 6 hours each day, be at the church for 2 more hours, no air condition except in their hotel room. That's a big thing for him, I think, is having AC. And I hear he sweats a lot. But anyway, no AC except in the hotel room, and then walking 10 to 12 miles a day and eating weird hot foods and soups for meals. So it's a struggle, but it is a work that I think God does through our people going and serving, and we've even heard testimony of the lasting impact that that has had even from our trip last year. So that's what they'll be doing. All right, I got a lot more to do, but we don't have time for that. So let me just do this, all right? Let me stop there. Let me ask any that are here that are going to Hungary, any who are here who are going to Hungary, I want you to come up to the front because we're going to have special prayer for you. If you're here in the room and you're going on the Hungary missions trip, and then for those of you that are playing and leading worship, you can come and prepare for that. All right, everybody stand up. Let's all stand together. All right, let me have y'all just kneel down, and let's have some from the church come and gather. Let's have a few come and a few would be good to come and just put your hand on them, gather around them. If you can't get to one that's one of the ones that's going, we want to be praying for God's work in their lives as they go. Father, we commit this group to you. We thank you for their willingness to do something like this. We know, God, that it's a step of faith, even for them as they step out. As they step out and decided they would go, knowing that that would mean financially having to raise funds, and knowing that that would mean having to ask for others to give, and wondering how could it be provided for them. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen up their faith, continue to build their faith up in you, even through this process. But Lord, we pray, God, for them now as they prepare to go. We pray, Father, for peace and for strength. We pray, God, that as they get there, Lord, we don't know exactly who the people are. We don't know the faces and the names and the stories and the backgrounds of the people that they will be coming into contact with, Lord. But God, we know you know, and we know that every single person that they see and interact with is a person that was made by you, made in your image after your likeness. They bear the image of God. They matter to you. Jesus died on the cross so that they could have eternal life and be saved and forgiven. Your son died for them. And so we pray, Lord, for every single person they come into contact with, that you would use them through their love, through their sacrifice, through the relationship, through the gospel message, as opportunity is allowed and provided, that through the gospel message they would begin to consider what it means to truly trust in Jesus and to have their sins forgiven. Lord, we pray for the church, the local church that they'll be partnering with, that you will create good bridges through this to the church, so that many will come back and spend time there, and many will come to hear more about Christ, and the continuing ministry of the gospel will go forward there in Hungary. Give them safety, protect them. We pray that they would be able to return as scheduled. Watch over them.
We commit them to you. We pray, God, that you would bless what they do as they are obedient to you. We have been commanded by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. Bless our obedience to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.